As you're seated, any elementary kids that are interested in Treehouse, our children's worship time for the remainder of our worship service, are welcome to be dismissed and to gather out in the foyer for the beginning of that time. And for all of us who remain right here, let me invite you to open up God's Word with me to the book of Psalms. We're in Psalm 116 today. We've been journeying through a portion of the Psalms, looking at a few select Psalms during the month of May. And today, our particular psalm is Psalm 116, and if you're using a Pew Bible, I think you can find this text on page 494. If that's not right, somebody correct me, and we'll pass the word along. But we're in the book of Psalms today, Psalm 116, and let me invite you to stand with me once again, all who are able, for the reading of God's Word. Our text reads this way. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. And I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, Lord, have delivered me from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I trusted in the Lord when I said, I am greatly afflicted. In my alarm I said, everyone's a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, even as we hear your word read and proclaimed, lead us to praise you. God, lead us to know you, to exalt you, to grow in love for you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm curious, quick show of hands, how many of you could honestly say, perhaps, that you've had a near-death experience? Now, I don't necessarily mean that you were on life support. Maybe you were. Maybe you served in a war. Maybe you served on the front lines of a battle. Maybe you had a heart attack or a stroke. Maybe you were in a serious car wreck. Maybe a tornado hit your house. Maybe your house caught on fire. How many of you could say, I've had a near-death experience? I'd be willing to bet that perhaps more of us have been closer to death's door than we really know. I spoke to one of our church members just a few days ago who last year had a routine surgery, and a few days after surgery, at home, developed a blood clot that landed him in the ICU for several days, and on death's door, a blood clot that had moved to his chest. I think of another sister in Christ who just a few years ago, about 5 years ago, with a cancer diagnosis, was told that there were no other treatment options that were really sure. And in fact, without treatment, she would probably only live just a few more weeks, maybe several more weeks of her life. And here we are 5 years or so later, and she's still praising God for his amazing grace. We don't know the particular circumstances that led to the psalmist penning Psalm 116, but according to him, he was at death's door. Like whatever the trouble, he believed he was about to die. And in his desperation, he cries out to God. He cries out to the Lord of mercy. The Lord hears his cry and saves him. Delivers him from death. And now the saved one is praising the God who heard his cry for help. Church, the saved praise God for hearing the cries for help. Those who've been saved and who know they've been saved by the God who saves, praise the God who saves. They praise God for hearing them, for hearing their cries for help. This is a thanksgiving psalm. For the one writing recognizes that the Lord, that Yahweh, has heard his prayer. He's intervened and now he's delivered him from death. The Lord has spared him from death. So he commits the rest of his life, verse 2, to the Lord. I will call on him as long as I live. You ever made that a promise or a similar cry for God's help? Vowing to praise him, to spend your days and your life honoring him for the rest of your life. If you'd simply hear your prayer. I don't know. Anybody watch the basketball game last night between the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat? Anybody? Few of you saw that. Not too many of you. But if you didn't see it, I didn't see most of it. I saw like the last 5 minutes of it. And if you didn't see it, whether or not you're a sports fan or not, see if you can go back and watch like the last 3 minutes. Unbelievable. I would be willing to bet that there were folks on both sides of that game who were offering up prayers to God, whether they believe and trust in God or not. God, help me here. If you get us through this game, I will praise you with my life. Unbelievable finish to that game. But have you ever made a promise like that in your own life? God, if you just do this for me, if you just save my marriage, if you get me through this time in my life, God, if you get me that job, if you help me pay my bills, if you just get me through this situation, I'll give my life to you. This particular psalm is similar in language. Portions of the psalm are similar to Jonah's prayer in the belly of the fish in Jonah chapter 2. Remember that story? Jonah's running from the Lord and he's thrown overboard into the sea and he's drowning. He's about to die and he cries out for God to save him, to deliver him. And God sends this whale, this giant fish to save him. And so Jonah chapter 2, there's a prayer that's written from the perspective of Jonah praising God for sparing him, for saving him in the moment of drowning. And he says such things as, I will sacrifice to you in the sanctuary. I will proclaim your salvation as a vow of praise to you, of obedience to you for hearing my cries for help. We might think of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Remember Hannah, who was a barren woman who desperately wanted a child. She's grieving. In fact, she was ridiculed because she didn't have children. And she's crying out to God. And she's saying, God, if you'll just give me a son, if you'll give me a son, I'll dedicate him to you. I'll give him to you all the days of his life. He'll serve you. And the Lord gives Hannah Samuel. And he's given to the Lord a life devoted to him. You know, we don't know if the author of Psalm 116 made that sort of plea, but more importantly, he's overcome by love for the Lord who's interested in him. Verse 1, I love the Lord for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Let's not miss the personal nature of this cry for God's help. It's almost as if he can't believe the God of creation, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Israel, is actually personally interested in me. I love the Lord for he heard my voice. He heard me. He heard my cry for mercy. Friend, do you know that God cares about you? He cares about you personally. Individually, he knows you and he loves you and he delights in hearing from you. He longs to hear from you and he does hear your prayers for his help. We might think of Psalm 139 where David says, "Oh Lord, you've searched me and you know me." Right? You know when I sit and when I rise, you discern my going out, my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. God, you know it. You know it. Complete. I think sometimes we assume that God's like the boss that's too busy for us. Got too much going on for us, too much to do, a schedule that's already full, perhaps like the CEO that's only concerned with the bottom line. No, that's not this God. It's not our God. Do you know this God? Here's a God who will hear you. He will hear you. So cry out from desperation to the God of salvation. Believer, cry out from desperation to the God of salvation. That's what the psalmist is doing here. That's what this record is a record of. Is anyone desperate today? Anyone anxious? Anyone worried? Anyone sick? Anyone battling addiction or dealing with depression, fearing death? Call on the name of the Lord, for He hears you. Friend, He hears you. And He can save you. He can spare you from death. He can deliver you from danger. He can heal you from cancer. He can. And He may. Tomorrow is Memorial Day, and I wonder how many a soldier has cried out to God on the front lines of battlefield. We know there's a bloody war raging in Eastern Europe. And I wonder if any soldiers in that war, if any Russian soldiers or Ukrainian soldiers who might know the Lord on the battlefield are crying out to the Lord from distress and sorrow even today, even now. See, the Lord does spare many from succumbing to physical death, and the right response, the proper response to His sparing is indeed always praise. The saved praise God for hearing their cries for help. But here's the deal. Such physical salvation is always only temporary. Right? We know this. It's always only temporary. For even the one who penned this praise, whatever his name, we don't know his name. We don't know if this was David or someone else. Whoever it was, eventually this one went to the grave. He died. And so will we. God always hears and sometimes spares those who cry out for mercy and deliverance from physical death. But church, this God always hears and always spares those who cry out for mercy and deliverance from spiritual death. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be what? Will be saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Will be without fail. Guaranteed. For this is a God who hears and who saves. Let me ask you this morning, have you called on the name of the Lord and are you saved? Have you called on His name to save you? What does it mean to call on His name? To call on His name is to pray in light of who He is. Of who He is, in light of who we know Him to be, and because of what we believe that He has done. Who is He and what has He done? Friend, we know Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord God who saves. God in the flesh, who has come to live and to die in our place so that we might forever live with Him in His place. That's what it means to be saved, to be forgiven of your sins and to be reconciled to God and to know that you will spend eternity forever with God. That's what it means to be His. That's the lasting spiritual salvation to which every act of physical salvation truly testifies. And those who know they've received it, right, those confident that God has spared them are ready to declare who He is. They're ready to announce to confess who he is and what it is that he has done. The saved confess God's kind and trustworthy character. Saved confess God's kind and trustworthy character. Isn't that what we heard from the Psalms as we open our time of worship this morning? Psalm 95, come, let us sing for joy before the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let's come before him with music and song. For he is a great and mighty king who saves. The saved confess his kind and trustworthy character. They don't just believe it. They confess it. That's what the singer of this psalm is doing. Telling what God has done for him. And church, that's what we do when we gather and we sing praises to him. When we sing songs of thanksgiving to him, when we sing hymns to him. This particular author has come to learn by personal experience that the Lord forgives sinners. That he's a God who forgives, that he's always faithful to his people and his promises, and that he's a God who cares for the lowly. Who cares for the lowly, coming alongside the hurting with compassion and with understanding. See, I don't know how you view God. I don't know what it is that you think of him, but the scriptures consistently resound with refrains like this one, and we need to hear them. The Lord is gracious. He is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. And so do the songs that we sing, right? Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies. I see all I have needed, thy hand has provided, right? Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You see, those who know him, friends, those who have faith in him, those with faith in him know this to be true, and so they confess his character, recounting answered prayers. Recounting answered prayers. I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at this. I don't do this well. I don't think I do this often. I think collectively we probably don't do this very often. We are quick to share prayer requests and to pin prayer requests, but we don't always go back and look at how God has responded to our requests for help, our cries for help. Friend, when was the last time that you thanked God for hearing you? For saving you, for sparing you or someone you know from cancer or from a heartache, for rescuing you from the shackles of sin, from guilt before God and the ensuing judgment of God. This is what God does. This is his work. It's not our work. He doesn't meet us halfway. No, he comes all the way, pulling us up out of the pit. Verse 6, the Lord protects the unwary, the careless, who don't know they're in trouble, and he rescues them. When I was brought low, he saved me. God, you saved me. The saved confess God's kind and trustworthy character, recounting answered prayers and taking comfort in God's goodness. Taking comfort in God's goodness. See, I think if we make it a point to note God's goodness and to reflect on his good and gracious character, and to record when he has answered our prayers, our cries for help, we will be comforted. And as I kept thinking about this particular text in preparation today, listening to it, reading it again and again throughout the week, this is the truth that kept jumping out to me, the comfort that kept moving me, the call to verse 7, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you in the midst of whatever sickness or sorrow you face. Friend, whatever anxiety or frustration or pain, rest assured that God has been good to you. And even now, he cares for you and he hears you. He hears you and he will help you, not just when you're near death, but through your tears, verse 8. Through your stumbling. Whatever that looks like for you. Through whatever struggle or sorrow or hardship that you face, whatever you face, because He's been gracious and righteous and He's full of compassion. He rescues us so that we'll walk before Him in the land of the living, verse 9, meaning a life of joyful fellowship before the God who saves. A life of obedience to Him. Return to your rest, my soul. For the Lord's been good to you. Again, I can't speak for you, but that has sure been a good reminder to me. Chris, when you're frustrated, when you're tired, when you're stressed, when you're down, when you're anxious, when you're tempted or troubled, return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Keep on confessing His kind character, recounting answered prayers, taking comfort in God's goodness, and believing that God alone is totally trustworthy. He's totally trustworthy. Because He's faithful. Great is Thy faithfulness unto me. He's totally trustworthy. In the midst of pain and panic, the psalmist learned people would let him down, verse 11. Have I ever let you down? Of course they have. But not this God. Not the Lord. Not Yahweh. Not the God who saves. No, God alone is totally trustworthy. Always hearing, always ready to respond with mercy to those who cry out to Him. Friend, who do you trust on dark days? Where do you turn in the hour of need? Might I suggest that the nature of our God should spur us to cry out to Him in the midst of otherwise hopelessness? Do you know the God who saves? No, God is trustworthy. He's always faithful. He's always reliable. He's always listening to those who cry out to Him. Do you know Him and do you trust Him? Again, I don't know what you're facing today, but I'm confident based upon the Word of God that the Lord delights in hearing from you. He delights in hearing your cries for help. That He is near to those who are brokenhearted. That He loves those who look to Him. Again, our psalm expresses love for the Lord. Love for the Lord who has loved us first. That's what John said, right? In 1 John, we love because He loved us first. The rescued man or woman, the saved person wonders what in the world he can do to repay the Lord for all His goodness to him. What kind of offering? What kind of gift could ever repay God for all of His goodness? That's where he goes with the text. I don't know about you, but I've received some big gifts in my life, some kind gestures, unasked, unexpected, and have had the feeling, what can I do to repay this person for their kindness to me? And truth be told, if it's a gift, there's nothing that you can do. And there's nothing that we can do to repay God for His goodness to us. Of course, there is none. No gift could ever repay the Lord. For if it could, salvation would cease to be an act of grace. But biblical salvation is what? By grace alone, through faith alone. And so the only thing that the saved can do is to respond with a life of praise to the God who saves. A life of public worship in the presence of God's people. And so that's where the text goes. The saved praise the Savior in the presence of His people. That's the only right response, the only appropriate response. That's the psalmist's response in verses 12 and following. I'm going to praise the Savior, the God who heard my cries for help, the one who saved me. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to gather with His people and I'm going to praise Him. Verses 12 and following record the response, the right response to salvation. Salvation, that's an act of God's mercy. And of course, the right response isn't a glib, thank you very much, and going on your merry way. No, the right response is total allegiance to the God who saves. Total allegiance
to the Savior. We ask you this morning, is that descriptive of the posture of your life, the posture of your heart? Total allegiance to the God who hears our cries for help and who comes and rescues us in our deepest need. The psalmist says, I will lift up the cup of salvation, verse 13, probably a reference to an act of worship in the sanctuary, the tabernacle or the temple, maybe a drink offering that's poured out on the altar. He says, I will call on the name of the Lord. Here, a public declaration of who God is and what it is that he's done for the saved. Likewise, he says, I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of his people, verse 14 and verse 18, meaning I'm going to be totally loyal to him. I'm devoted to him. I'm committed to him. I'm going to be loyal to the one who saved me, praising him now and always in the presence of his people, because my God valued my life so much that he didn't let me go to the grave before he said it was my time. Indeed, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Meaning that God deeply loves and highly values the lives of his servants, watching over our lives and ensuring that none of us departs this life apart from his knowledge or without his sovereign consent. Oh, church, such a God is praiseworthy. The one who certainly fashioned us together in our mother's womb. The one who made us. The one who sustains us even now. And the one who rescues us through Jesus Christ. He is praiseworthy. And those who've been saved want to praise him. The saved praise the Savior in the presence of his people. Saved, praise the Savior in the presence of his people. So brothers and sisters who've been saved by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrate salvation by gathering and telling what God has done. That's the response. Gathering with God's people, the presence of God's people, doing just what it is that we're doing this morning, gathering and telling what it is that God has done by doing what we're doing even here today, what we're doing even now. We're all together this morning, and I wonder if we couldn't testify for a few moments about what God has done. Praising God and encouraging one another about the faithfulness of God, the love of God, the forgiveness of God. So we're going to do something a little bit different this morning, out of our comfort zone perhaps, but good for us. And I pray honoring to God. And I'm going to ask Nick if he'd go ahead and come and begin playing some piano music. And we'll take just a moment even now, sort of like popcorn prayer. And maybe all across this room, shout out what God has done. 3, 4, 5 words. He saved me. He forgave me my sins. He heard my cry for help. He walked with me through hardship, whatever it may be. He provided for my needs. What if during this moment, even now, we began responding by acknowledging in our hearts and with our mouths what God has done in a way that encourages his people. And so as Nick plays, even now, let's just do that. Collectively, as you're led. No, we don't do spontaneity all that great here, but perhaps we ought to. So let's praise him. Somebody praise him. Say, he did this. He forgave me my sins. Let's praise him. What has God done to you, for you?